session number 11750, reel 7.
Mr. Fred Lineker, reel 7. We were talking about the time in the lull while you're in the Gazala line in 1942, before the German attacks. And you mentioned that you went on patrol once.
Yeah.
Just tell me what the sort of preparations you had and what happened on that
well,
patrol.
Well, we went on patrol, and the day, I'll never forget it, was April the 9th, and it was a Thursday. Funny, I remember little things, I can't remember the big ones. And Jackie didn't go.
How were you picked to go on it? Because it wasn't your usual, was it?
No. I was, I suppose, the way I felt then, and looking back, I think, well, he's got a nice number, there's no reason why he shouldn't come out with us and see a bit, you see. That's the way I felt. It made me never thought that, the blokes, whoever. But anyway, I was there.
Did you feel?
Well, we go through the gap, as they call it, which is the minefield gap, you see, and then out.
What were you wearing and what were you carrying?
Not FSMO, the small khaki, what's it call it?
Pack.
The pack, yes. It's belt sidearms, ammunition, rifle, steel helmet. And spade.
And how many of you?
Well, there was D Company.
The whole company?
I would say the majority of D Company.
Under whose command?
About three platoons. Under Captain Clay. Captain Derek Clay. And a very good friend of mine that's not long since died was his batman called Frankie Griffiths.
So what was the purpose of the patrol? Had you been told, or were you just...
A recce, which went out as a recce, a feeler, shall we say. You see me, you put a cat and mouse effort. That's what it was. It didn't turn out like that, did it? Anyway, we went out, and eventually, I can only put it not in a military way, all I can say is that eventually we some tanks were sighted. And of course, it's debossed out. And then they start saying, digger, what's it, slit trench?
So you were in your trucks?
Yes, and they say, debuss, get out, take up a position, and dig a slit trench. And it's like this, it's hard. And you've got a little shovel. You might as well have tried it with a knife and fork. And then when they saw us, you see, this was the 88 millimetres. I find all this out after. I didn't look and say, oh, that's a Tiger tank, it's an 88 millimetre, and it can do so many miles an hour, and all this. I didn't weigh that up then. This is what I've learnt since, you see. It was 88 millimetres lobbing over there, and you wanted to get below that surface, sharpish. No infantry, tanks, you see. And then, from what I can gather, no, fruitless firing a rifle at that lot because there was no humans to be seen. But we had the what's it with us? We had the 25 pounders. South Africa, who the hell they was? I think we had a Northumberland. I think we had the Cheshires, a machine gun regiment. We had a machine gun regiment. Sure we had. And they're 25 pounders because they started bobbing back at them.
This was what's called Ross Column.
Ross Coll.
Coll.
Yes. Aye, because it was McLaren. Major McLaren was running the show. Any road, from all accounts, they got a couple of tanks or something, and we wasn't in a very happy position. And then the next
what
thing...
What were you doing during this? You'd been trying to dig in.
In. Because there was what was the 303 against a tank? We would. It was just a matter of a contest between the tanks and the 25-pounders, you see? No infantry at all. Any road. I think they got a couple of tanks, as I said. And the next thing I know is they're shouting, M. Bosun, these RASC three tonners came. And they all got on, don't we? And they're still at it, these lot in front of us. And we, eventually, come... This is over a space of time, mind you. It just didn't get down. They start firing, get up and go back home again. This was over a space of time I'm trying to cover, because I can't remember it to detail. And
did you leave a rear guard? I mean, because one platoon was left.
Yes,
but that wasn't your platoon that was left.
Not my platoon, no. Not to my knowledge. And we eventually got back to the camp. Now, the post-mortem come out then. Because when we got back to camp, we see him there, don't we? And he got out with us. And he's there, he's back before us. So, the next news is that Captain Clay had been captured. And Frankie Griffiths, the one I've just told you, he's Mackman. He'd been captured. McLaren had gone. That was my experience, and the only thing that upset me on that day was that old Frankie, a very close friend of mine, that old Frankie didn't come back on that, you know. And Captain Clay, of course, he was the officer class.
Did you fire at all during this action?
No. I don't think none of our lads did. I think the only people who ever fired was the Cheshires with the machine guns.
What about the Brens? Weren't they used at all?
Possibly. Might have been. I don't know. I hadn't a Bren gun. But I thought it'd be fruitless, that. You weren't firing at infantry. You were firing at a lump of iron.
And
the only impression that could be made would be with the 25 pounders. I say, I think they got a couple of tanks.
Did you come under fire at all? I mean, you know, yourself from the tank.
That's what I say. So never debus, and they saw us, and then they started coming over at 88 millimeters. Dig in, sharpish. You never see any hands go past for what, and with me, and making very little impression.
Were there any casualties in your area, or was the fire?
Frankie, as regards wounds, I can't recall many at all.
So the German fire wasn't accurate on the infantry anyway.
No, very likely we were going for the 25 pounds at the back of us. Because we were no problem, would we?
And was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Saying that was the first encounter, which, looking back, wasn't anything on a massive scale at all, was it? But to us, it was scary, you know. As I say, it was a baptism of nothing, really. But I don't think one minute they was worried about the infantry. They could have walloped us in no time. They just wanted to get rid of the heavy stuff, wouldn't they? The 25 pounders.
Now, do you remember anything about the period between Roscoe on the 9th and the breakout, which happened on the 14th of June?
Except for the fact that there was the usual patrols going out, you know, the probing performance, and obviously they must have brought information back about much more activity from the German side, the Italian side, which they wouldn't tell the armoury squaddy, like. It'd be the higher brass that didn't know about that, but we've, in case of finding out after the event.
Did you go on any more patrols?
I never went on another one after Roscoe. No, no.
So you were just carrying on?
So I carried on the armoury performance, but there was always the bush telegraph telling you that was something. There was a flap on, you see, which obviously there was. And then we got the orders to start to... ready to move, and we didn't even know then it was sort of a withdrawal. It was they just called it a breakout from the box.
Did you know you'd been surrounded and that sort of thing?
No, Nothing at all. We were just there, and it was just sort of an organised manoeuvre that we had to leave that position.
Just before we come, there's one thing I wanted to ask you. We didn't really cover it before. Do you remember the sandstorm? There was a big sandstorm, and what it was like to be in a sandstorm in the desert?
The sandstorm in the desert. God love us, everything was covered, inches and inches of it. You couldn't breathe, you couldn't see. Like, what do they call them? Tamsins, aren't they? Is it that type of thing? And they don't just stop for 2 or 3 minutes, they're on for hours.
What did you do during them?
Well, down in your dugout, and a ground sheet over the entrance to it. That's the only, and then it still got through. It was in everything. Pots, pans, rifles, you name it. It's very fine sand, just like you had in one of those egg timers. You know what I mean? So, except you were digging stuff out after, you know. It was covered that much with sand, you had to get it out again. Dig it out again.
Right, so let's get on to Selco. What arrangements were made? Did you have
from what I can remember now, there was me and Jackie Hudson. He's the colour sergeant. Who was the QA? CQMS. Jackie Hudson, nice man. My gaffer, actually. There's me and him, and a couple of other lads. I think there was company runners. One with Jackie Fairburn, Danny Fairburn, if I remember rightly. I Jackie, Danny. I can see him now. And a driver, and we're in a 1500 weight open truck.
Did you have all your stores with you, or were you abandoning them?
All we had on there. Left. That's all all we had was what was on that 1500 weight truck. Now, who the hell put anything on the 3 tonners? I don't know. But that was our little piece.
So as far as you
1500, and on there was hard tack rations, water, your rifles, your spades, your shovels, petrol, first aid kits, just a lot. And me and one of the other lads was on top of them, because there was Jackie Hunter was in the front with the driver, obviously, so we were on the top.
The bulk of the stores were abandoned.
As far as I know, they were abandoned. They could have been well in a wherever from the cook house and all that, could have well gone into one of the 3 tonners. You know what I mean? But I never seen anything after that. It's no use me saying, oh yes, I saw them putting the bloody sayers on and all the bread and the beep and all this and whatever. I never saw it.
So what happened then?
This was all from the Sunday. During Sunday, this was loaded on, and then you were ready to move. And of course, they don't move immediately, like a timetable. It's called off, and we're going at such a time. 1600 hours, 1800 hours, 2000 hours, and all this lot. You didn't know when you were going until somebody said, yes, we're actually going. And it was dark. And we did know that it was split into columns, you see. Now, from what I've gathered since, there were 3 columns, but I only know of 2. And I didn't even know where we were going and what we were doing, except that we were going out the box. Now, from what I can gather again, it was a withdrawal, as we know, forward, which I was out withdrawn when you went backwards, didn't you? So, and it was their job, or the 8th Battalion job, to go so far forward and then stop and then sort of make a passage for the remainder, like the other 2 battalions, 6th and 9th. I know that now, but I didn't know that then. All I knew is, was my little 1500 weight with Jackie. So eventually, as we went between the minefields out of the front of the box, and I was with Selco, we know that much, because there was Clarkie. Little Clarkie had the other one. What's he called? AB, is it AB's initial? Major. Was he a major then, I think? I don't know. But a Clark call it was him. And we had Cell call, as they called him.
Did you know much about Cell? Do you remember much about him?
Not particularly. Not particularly. But he got the job of leading one out, which was ours. And we went, carried on. And nothing happened at all. Until, and I couldn't tell you what time it was, could have been after midnight, could have been before midnight. I know it was pitch black. And then all of a sudden, there was this crossfire coming across. Bloody traces this way, traces that way. You didn't know where the hell you was, no nothing. And all of a sudden, An anti-tank shell, must have been an anti-tank shell, went right through the bloody engine of the 1500 weight. Knocked it out straight away. So Jackie gets us off the bloody trucks there, and he was like scratching your way in a hole as fast as you could. And you didn't know who the hell it was. All you could do was see if these traces coming like this at front of you. And we fired at him, but I mean, you didn't know when he might have hit a bloody rock or something. You didn't know when he'd hit anything or anything. So all you did was just fire it out, and then that were it. Couldn't do no more. And then little Danny's there, and he's holding it. It was coming light then. And his stomach was wide open. Lay there, little Jackie. Danny, I'm sure it's Danny. And he says, and he's talking to Jackie Hudson, and you know how they speak in Durham. And he says, "Hey, man, Jack. Hey, Jack, lad. Oh, my belly does hurt me." And he's going on like this. And it was hanging out, really. Well, we had a few, what do you call it? You know them bloody square, what do they call them? The pads, bandages, aren't they? What do they call them?
Dressings.
Put them. For what use it was, nobody used at all. And we stopped with him, Jackie, and the driver. It was just the four of us, as far as I can remember there. And next minute, God love us, we're surrounded.
You didn't see them approaching then?
We're surrounded with them. All over the place. All the way around. And of course, these were Italians. The column had buggered up then. They'd gone.
Eh? They'd left you as soon as you... I mean.
Well, they carried on. It was case if you couldn't keep up, that was your chips, wasn't it? I mean, they could hang back, can't they? So, there you are. And then, of course, they line you up.
How did they actually take your surrender? I mean, what did they
do? We're surrounded with them. Dropped the rifle down, you see.
You just threw your rifle?
Well, it's pretty hopeless, isn't it? So, line you up. And that was on the Monday the 15th of June, Monday morning. My birthday was on the 5th, and Dorothy had sent me some hackers, some money to change, you know, for the... So that went, my watch went, my ring, when we got married, when we were married, that went, everything went.
Did they do anything for the lad who was wounded?
carted him off in a medical on a stretcher. But he'd garnered Danny. It's in that boot that is in the obituary. It's there now. You can see him now, that lad. So there you are. So we gathered us up. Took everything off us.
Did they say anything to you?
Pardon?
Did they say anything to you? Or?
No, it's all sign language. You see what I mean? No. We soon learnt what they meant. Pushing you, bleed shoving you. And then, of course, we sat there, don't know how long. And Jackie looking as miserable as sin, Jackie Hudson, Q bloke. And he was Jackie wasn't, shall we put him in the term of an army type. You know what I mean? Let's face it, I'm not being derogatory, but when blokes join the army, they were a bit, they could handle themselves types, weren't they? They joined because of the life, they could handle themselves and all this caper. Now, Jackie wasn't like that. Jackie was a mammy's boy in comparison. He went because he had to do. He joined the Terriers to enjoy his cell in Durham. He didn't join the Terriers to, what do you call it, to go and fight in a war. That was Jackie, I know that. But he had a good headpiece on him, you see, and that's how he got the Q job, obviously. Figures, and he's a beautiful writer. But he wasn't a man, you could imagine, with a gun in his hand. And when this happened, of course, he's very, very upset, dejected, and don't know what the hell is going to happen to us. And eventually, we get...
What about you? How did you feel?
Oh, well, you're stunned. I mean, you don't start thinking, well, I wonder when the war will be over, we'll get home then. You know what I mean? It just couldn't come to mind, that. Or how long will we be like this? And where will we go? And will we be in billets? And will we get something to eat? You don't think, so what the hell is happening? Are we dreaming? You know what I mean? You don't think about it. Until after, till it sinks in, that starts to come. And of course, and you feel very uncomfortable, to say the least, because anything could happen to you there, there's no bugger knows, is there? You're not registered as a POW, nothing. Dorothy was 6 months before she found out what had happened to me.
So you were quite scared as well as...
Well, a bit naughty it was. You know, a bit... Butterflies.
So they lined you up, searched you...
Searched you and left you there until in the famous army way, provided you with transport. It wasn't immediate, you know what I mean? And of course, time went on, and as I say, we got transport. And got on the back, huddled all up and on the back, open 3-tonner, something like that, that type of vehicle. And got nothing. Hey, and we had chocolate, water, hardtack, bully, you name it, everything on that 1500 weight. Didn't get that much of it. Couldn't let us have it. So we get on there, and of course we're starting to get peckish. And they issued us with about a side of a tea plate, not a dinner plate, the smaller one. Of hardtack. You could have laid a road with them, you know what I mean? Solid, hard. And your tin hat, with the what's it took out, with the, you know, the band, what, that out, just the plain tin hat, and they give you water in there, drink of water in that, we got that. And nothing after that. And we're in an open truck then during the day, heading west, away on the coast road. And of course, we stopped, and then you could go and have a slash or what have you. And it bloody tongues was hanging out, just like leather straps. No water provided still, but if you had anything, if you had anything, now this is a part about it that's funny. If you had anything, you could they'd bloody provide you with water. Now, Howie Halley managed it, Jackie Hudson, but he still had his watch. Mine went, everybody, but he still had his watch. And he'd only had it about a fortnight because he'd been down to Cairo on leave. And he thought he got a belting bargain, you see, then, in those days. And he gave that, and I can see it now, he gave that watch, it was a lovely watch, he gave that watch, and he got a cup of water for it. He gave a cup of water. And with nothing, as I say, one ration of water and this bloody doorstep of a biscuit.
Did he share it with you when he got the cup of water?
No, he didn't share it.
Would you have expected him to?
Well, you see, all these things that we think of in ordinary life, Peter, where you say, oh, she's a mingy buggy, you know, you think they'd do that, didn't that? When you're in that position, you're watching every second what's going to happen. Your mind doesn't dwell off if some bugger's being mean or something like that. You know, it doesn't occur to you at the time. As I say, all these things, thinking after, now, as you just mentioned it now, I know that he didn't give me any. And I could still say, well, Jackie was a bit mean bugger, he could have given me a drink, that, thinking that now. But at the time, your mind's on other things. What, where are we going? What's happening?
So how long were you without water?
Well, I'll tell you where we arrived at, and you can tell on the map. It was a few hours, and then they dumped us in Benghazi. So you can reckon, what, 3-4 hours? 4 hours on the truck along the main highway, you know. And we finished in Benghazi, which wasn't a camp. With whatever you had in your, because we had this, you could call it FSMO, the big pack on with your under. Because when we were breaking out the box with everything, we had a spare underclothes, spare shirt, spare shorts, and what have you, what we could carry.
So you still had your full kit with you?
We had this kit with us, that sort of kit. But I'm talking about personal things when they searched us, money. See, that's what they were interested in. No else. So we had these things, bits and pieces, with us. But there was no, we was put in a sandy, well, if it was in England it'd be a field, but there it was a big area of sand with just an excuse for barbed wire around and the ITAR guards, and you just went and made a claim on your area and plonked down.